Hi, everybody, and Di and I are here tonight, and we've got a great show scheduled. And share with us what it's about, Di. So, and welcome to the show.
Oh, thank right, you. We're talking about mind-body-spirit connection, and you and I both probably have different takes on that.
Yeah, the
I know
day,
you're a runner.
You're happy, then...
Yeah. Oh, go ahead.
Go ahead. I think we hear an echo. No, please, because we hear an echo a little bit on my end, but I don't hear it on your end. Ah, I think it's gone.
Okay.
Please, go ahead. What
okay.
are you going to say? So,
I know. With the whole holistic health kind of thing is what we're talking about finding happiness, but it takes the whole part of you, your mind and your emotions and physical. So you're like a shining example, I think, for me, for sure, but for a lot of people, of how you have really healed yourself physically. And that's, made your whole world expand then, because you're not, struggling with the spiritually sound.
With the
you're physically very sound, emotionally connected, and it's so hard for people to get all three. It's like you get one or two out of three, but you never have the whole package. And I'm a big proponent of Eastern medicine. I like the holistic medicine philosophy where they treat the whole person. So if you go to them
right.
with a physical ailment, they'll also ask you what's going on in your life. And a lot of times it can be tracked back to something that's actually happening in your life, and it's manifested itself as a physical ailment. But also, you don't have to have a physical ailment. You can just improve your health, which a lot of people do. And, people always say, well, I feel so much better when I work out. I feel happier. My mood's elevated. And you are definitely an exercise fiend, where I'm not. I used to be, but I'm not anymore, sadly. But you say the same thing.
You're so
like
funny.
But you'll miss a day of running.
When you exercise, when you work, you're exercising. I'm sorry. I don't mean to, so you do more than most. More than most.
But sex is great exercise. Right? Sex is great exercise.
Yeah.
I consider that exercise.
Yeah, sex is.
And that's where I connect myself. I connect on the whole mind, body, spirit level.
You're so funny. Yeah. If sex were exercise, I would be darn a big fat couch potato. Just saying.
Oh, see, now I feel like I could be an Olympic athlete.
Well, great.
I'm feeling good today.
Okay, somebody's got to... Yes, exactly. Somebody's got a great sex life, not me. Anyway, oh, that's funny, Di. I love you, man. I guess you're having fun, mind, body, spirit.
Yeah,
I know.
I'm having fun, mind, body,
yeah.
spirit. That's what we were talking about last week. Scott is here, and mind, body, spirit is great.
I like that. So when you're saying, oh, God, it's a really spiritual moment for you, I'm assuming, correct?
That's
so,
right. So it is. When you say, oh, God, you're being very holy. You're being very spiritual. That's what I think. That's what I'm saying. Oh, God, oh, God.
Okay.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
People
okay.
can relate to that. That's good exercise.
Yeah. God, are you coming?
It's cardio.
Yes, I am.
I'm doing my cardio. Yeah. Where you like to run.
That's all good. I do, but there's nothing like great sex, okay? So I love running, I do. And, and I know that you're having a good time getting a lot of your cardio in. But that's the physical part. And how do you, I could ask you probably better than this than myself right now. How do you combine the spiritual with the physical? Or do you? You know what I mean? So what do you think about? And the emotional.
The emotional, definitely, when you're connecting with your partner, when you're connecting with somebody you love, there's definitely the emotional there. But I think it is kind of a spiritual experience, because there's a connection of energies. It's not just physical. It's like your souls are connecting. And so I think it is a kind of a spiritual experience. If you're really loving someone, now, of course, you can have the one-night stand, the booty call, where it's just a physical thing. But that doesn't really make you feel connected to somebody. In fact, it can make you feel very cheap after a while. I think everybody's done the one-night stand. Let's be honest. We're adults here. And everybody's done something that was just like a physical relationship. And you usually walk away feeling really bad about yourself. So that's not a good emotional, you know, spiritual connection. But even then, I was kidding, you know, I'm talking about sex, but just your physical body, when you're physically feeling healthy and rested, it just improves everything, your mood, your emotions, because, you know, when you get worn out and tired, and everything's bad. Everything seems worse. You don't have a very high tolerance for frustration and pain. It's like everything is worse when you're worn out and tired. So,
right.
You know, to that effect, like taking care of your physical body is a mood elevator. It definitely is. But you're a lot better about that than I am. So I should turn this over to you and you talk about that.
Well, you are giving us all inspiration with your great, your mind, body, spirit, the way your take is on it tonight. And that's true, though. I'm going to tie it up, and then I'm going to go on to some other ways to share that, because I know people that listen to this now or later are going to say, yeah, but I'm by myself. Whether you're by yourself or not by yourself, Di, you've tied it in well with being physical, spiritual, and emotional. Doesn't get much sweeter than that, you know? And so for me, and when I get a guy, I'm going to be talking about mine too as well. but for me, the mind, body, and spirit is something so, so sweet because, I was super sick a few years ago. And the doctor says to me, Tiree, you're going to be on dialysis. You might die. And you've got problems with your kidney, your liver, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And the list goes on, you know. So anyway, I said, well, what can I do? And I got a great doctor, and he monitored me. But what I really did is I took charge of my health, and I started running, and I started working out, and had some great folks along the way that really helped me. Then for me to heal my body, what I had to do was connect the mind, body, and spirit, right? So, mm-hmm. You don't have to be sick to do it. You just have to be open, you know, and say, okay, I want a connection with all that is, and I also want to feel great, and I want to be able to know that I matter in this, you know, and that I can connect, as I said, with all that is, or however you see that, whether it's God, Buddha, I don't care, just whoever that is to you. And that's what I said. I said, I want to connect to, you know, to God and my angels. And because I was right in the hospital, and my father was traveling behind us, and, you know, I was in the EMT, and he was in the in his car. And he called 911, because everything was shutting down. And when we're going to the hospital, these three angels showed up. And it was so funny, because there was a big one and two small ones, and Jesus was there, too. And they all said I was going to heal myself. And I said, well, while you're here, why don't you do it for me? And they go, it's the journey, Tiree. And I never really understood that. But it came through, and I started lowering my insulin, started getting, you know, getting the great results. And my doctor goes, what are you doing? And I said, I started meditating. I pulled pot by myself and started meditating, eating right. And it's 2017, and I'm a runner. And, mm-hmm. and that's not as important as it is. It's about just really, you know, feeling good. And because to change anything, to change your emotions, to change your mind, to feel better, if you start moving, whether it's walking, whether it's jump rope, whether it's just doing something where you're physically moving, you can change the way you're thinking. And so I said, what if I did that a long period of time? And so I started mm-hmm. exercising every day, started meditating and praying every day, started eating healthy, started really talking about it, and now it's a part of who I am. And am I a good runner? Yeah, I'm not the best I can be, but I'm getting there. It's a journey once again. But one of the things that I think is really key, whether it's whatever you're doing in the mind, body, and spirit, that you stay consistent. You know what I mean? Yes. Will Smith, I was listening to him on YouTube, and he says, you know, I wasn't the best. He said, but he goes, what I was is I was super consistent, and I had a tremendous work ethic. And I have to say that about myself. I'm super consistent, and I have a tremendous work ethic. And you know, with whatever I'm doing. And that's really what turned it around for me and made that connection with all that is so strong. And, you know, and when I have a challenge. Like today wasn't a good day for me to exercise or run. I don't think I did it well at all, but I was there and I was doing it. Tomorrow I'll be better. And, you know, and that's something right there. But it's not even about being the best. It's just about being balanced in you know, and having balance in your life. Because I used to think, oh, I've got to be the, and you know this, I struggle with competition. I have to be the best, you know. I have clients that say, I have to be the best. I have to do this. And then if you say you're not the best that day, you just stop. That's not what you do. You just be consistent. And, you know, I've had a lot of clients that have had experiences seeing angels, seeing God, seeing their higher power, however they see it, and had miracles really happen. And when you connect the mind, body, spirit, then that's where love is. And that's where you can see the miracles, because we're all doing some miracles, right? Look at you. You've got a miracle now. You and your guy are together, and it's been
a long time.
It's like that guy that went to Tibet. Yeah, it's like, guy has been to Tibet, came back out of the wilderness. Here you are. Okay.
But here I am.
Guys have, yeah, and he has too, right? So, you know.
Right.
So, yeah, so you're more balanced now, right? Is that how you attracted him back in your life, or he attracted you? Or do you feel like it's a mind-body-spirit connection that brought you two together?
I feel like we both had to go through a lot of lessons before we finally could, you know, before the time is right. It's like the bad timing. It's like one of us needed a different lesson. It's like you have to go off with a different relationship and have that experience before you really start appreciating this other thing, you know. But the whole connection, and I mean, we've had a great discussion today about, you know, past relationships and what attracted us to them. And like he said, why do we have to be in our 50s before we finally get it, before we finally learn? But it's like you have to go through these painful lessons to finally get to that point where you realize, you know, this is what I need to make me happy. This is not going to make me happy. I'm just beating my head against the wall. But it's like ego-driven. It's ego-based. It's like this challenges my ego, and my ego feels good. But that's such a shallow feeling. It's like a hollow happiness. But, you know, like talking about mind, body, spirit, taking the body part out of it is just the mind spirit connection. If you're feeling like if you're feeling motivated to really search for answers, because I think there's a lot of people who are really kind of searching for answers now, and instead of just looking at superficial, you know, the surface life and the material stuff, they're kind of going within and looking for some spiritual answers. And, you know, there's got to be something more to this. And I think that's where people really kind of start making that connection of self-analyzation, where you look at what you've been focusing on and what you've been chasing after, the dreams you've been chasing after, and you finally realize they're not bringing me true joy. They're not really bringing me happiness. And you start going within. And with that, you start looking on the outside and saying, you know, there's got to be something better than this. And I think there's a lot of people, especially with the political culture right now, a lot of people are frustrated with their situation, with what's going on in society, and they start looking for more meaning and more depth. And that's when you really start forming that connection, because it's really a connection with your own soul. It's like a connection with yourself. You have to start becoming comfortable in your own skin. And it's a maturity level. You know, it's growing up and feeling like you deserve love, you deserve all the happiness that everybody else has. But that's something that takes some of us 50 years before we finally say, you know what, we are worthy of that, we do deserve that. And so if you can start marrying the two together, your mental with your spiritual half, that's when you start really finding joy. And, you know, like you always say, we're spiritual beings having a physical experience. And the fact is, we are having a physical experience. And so, you know, like, I'm not one of those people who say, oh, my body is my temple, but yet it's my body, and that's what God gave me to have this physical experience with, so I might as well enjoy it. And there's a lot of things, yeah, a lot of ways to enjoy it. And, you know, I'm not just talking about sex, but, like, running, physical activity, meditation, yoga, whatever you do that brings you physical pleasure, that is all part of your experience. And you are a spiritual being having this experience. And so it ties in, you know, it ties in with it. Just seeing things. Like I love to sit out, we've been sitting out on the deck all day, looking at the deer and hearing the birds and enjoying nature. That's a physical experience. And it brings me peace. It's like that I'm the kind of peace that I don't get sitting in a house looking at four walls. So there's all different ways that you can enjoy your physical experience. It doesn't have to be exercise or strenuous, whatever. It can be just sitting here staring at the mountains and, you know, feeling in awe of the beauty that surrounds you. But it's almost a meditative, you know, experience where you really feel a connection with everything around you. And you know, people who don't stop and take the time to do that are the people, I think, who are usually frantic and hectic, and they feel like their life is out of their control because they're not really enjoying the experience that they have available to them right in front of them.
Right. Right. Mm-hmm. I get that. I'm gonna say it a little differently. Okay, so, you know, one of the things that I ask myself, okay, and I ask other people that are looking for the mind, body, and spirit connection, I go, what result was I looking for? I wanted to heal my body, and I wanted to come back 100%. Okay, I talked to a lady the other day, and I said, what are you looking for to connect the mind, body, and spirit? Starting, you know, when she was doing it with meditation, she'd started changing her diet and eating right and doing some sort of exercise, I don't remember now. And she says, I want to get close to God. And she goes, that's the result I'm looking for, not the activities, what she was going to do, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, some of the activities are fun, right? But what is the result you're looking for? And that's what I've asked her, you know. And she said, that's what I want to do. I want to get close to God. I want to understand how I can be more, you know, she said, clairvoyant, the veil between us and our higher power. However you see it, I'm going to say God tonight and the angels, Jesus, because that's who I believe in, right? But it doesn't matter to me what you call that higher power in your own life. And maybe you call it yourself. So I said, okay, great. So how do you do that? You know, one of the things that I really, and I'm going to use my story because I don't care what people think of me. I know what I think of me. And that took a long time. So mm-hmm. I hope that's okay. But the end result I was looking for, as I said, was to heal myself. And I realized during this whole process that my mind could tell my body what to do. Mm-hmm. And that's key right there. So people are going, oh, I can't do it because I'm old. Well, I've had a problem with aging. So this has been pretty recent. I go, okay, there's been a time where they've got yogis that have lived forever. There's people in, you know, in the King James Version that's lived for a really long time. There's people in the Kabbalah and all these books. And I said, okay, Tari, I said to myself, what do I feel? I go, if I don't believe in aging, I don't need to say that. I just need to be it because I don't believe in organized religion. If I don't say it, I just honor that within myself. If somebody else mm-hmm. does, I honor that within them. So one of the key things here for I think to understand this is like, do not limit yourself with because I am 40, because I'm 30, because I'm 50, because I'm 16, because I'm 25. It doesn't matter. If you learn to take that mind and you learn how to control your body with it, you can do anything. That's how I'm turning my pancreas on. That's how I did it. That's how I do mm-hmm. it every day. And, you know, when I had surgery recently, the doctor said, Tari, there's no problem with your kidneys or anything. Your numbers are perfect. You must, you know, and you must be in excellent control. So you take that mind and you learn to control your body. And if you buy into the fact because you are whatever age you are, then, then that's your limitation. That's what I think. Maybe right. You think it's okay to be that way. It doesn't matter. I'll give you an example of that. There's a guy and his wife, they're 80, see, he's 83 and she, or no, they're both 78, 83, okay? And they're running. They run 3 miles a day. They swim a mile a day. And, you know, and they their mile is about an 8-minute mile. They look about 60 years old, 55, 60, right? Mm-hmm. And they've been running mm-hmm. for 20 or 30 years. And he and they both told me, they said, Tari, we decided that our mind controls our body. Now, they're also into metaphysical Eastern medicine, and they do some also martial arts. So, you know, because I've interviewed them and everything. So that's what they do. And prayer and meditation is something that they do. They pray and they meditate to God. And I think that's key right there. And if you think that if you buy into that subconscious fact that your body, your mind does not control your body, then that's okay. You can get some stuff done. But when you really get that you don't have to be this way. You know, you told me something not too long ago. What was it? I go, Di, if I can turn my pancreas on, I can do anything. Mm-hmm. And that's what I believe. I may not be the best at something, but I am super consistent. And I'm going to not stop until I get it done, you know, and then I become the best, you know. So that's what I think a mind-body spirit connection is. Mm-hmm. Belief is key. You're right. Belief is key. Believing in yourself, you know.
You have to believe.
And having
because when you don't. Yeah.
Go ahead. And no, please, when you don't believe in yourself, please, I want to hear what you say, because you do that really well. That's one of the things that I think that you're amazing at, believing in yourself, getting it done, and doing what you do. You know, so I've seen you overcome some obstacles that most people would never overcome, you know.
But it is. It's really, like they always say, the power of positive thinking. It's when you believe something, your subconscious works overtime to make that happen, to make it true. When you don't believe something, when you fear it, your subconscious takes that as the direction that, oh, this isn't going to happen, because your fear is saying that's not going to happen. And your subconscious works overtime to make it not happen. So you self-sabotage. And as far as like physical fitness is concerned, if you really believe this ailment, it's gonna get me. It's gonna ruin my life. It's gonna end my life early. You know, when people have that belief, it's going to happen, because they will believe it into reality. But you see people who've had, you know, illnesses that other, you know, doctors and people are telling them, you know, you've only got so much time to live, but they don't believe that. They believe, no, I can lift this, I can conquer this, and then they do, or they, you know, they may still end up succumbing to it, but they will live 10 years beyond, you know, doctors' expectations. So it truly is mind over matter, and your mind controls so much. It's just like athletes who rehearse winning in their mind, or, you know, basketball players, rehearsing, making that layup, and visualizing. They use visualization techniques all the time, of visualizing yourself making that basket, making whatever you're doing, whether it's a sport or something at work, but to visualize yourself achieving what you want. That's such a huge thing, because it starts working on your subconscious, and you start believing that you can. And it's like, it's almost like you're doing a dress rehearsal in your brain when you're visualizing things, and then you will make it happen. But I think the physical part too, obviously you see people who have a great quality of life well into their twilight years, because they've been physically fit, and it does improve their whole life. It improves their mood. It improves everything. They feel better about themselves because physically they feel better. So there's definitely a connection there. There's also the, you know, reverse connection, where when you are miserable, you'll manifest physical symptoms, and then the physical symptoms will make you feel even worse. And so then it's an even more hardship on your mental and emotional welfare. And it's like a vicious cycle, you know. It's like the worse I feel, the more my mind is frustrated, and my mind is giving up. And then the more my mind gives up, the more my body's giving up. And so it's just like trying to reverse that cycle and believing that I'm going to improve, whether it's a physical activity or quality of life.
Right.
It's just believing that you can, because that's the direction you're telling your subconscious to work towards. So if you're really thinking, I probably will never do this, it'll probably never happen, that's the order you're giving your subconscious, and that's what it's going to make happen. It will cause that to happen. So there's just such a connection with all of every part of us, you know, the mental, the emotional, the spiritual, the physical, such a connection that it shouldn't be overlooked. It shouldn't be overlooked. Every part of it is crucial, I think, to your happiness, your overall joy, and your overall enjoyment of the physical experience that we're having. So that's my take on it.
I agree. I agree with you on that too. So the mind, you know, people go, well, people are saying, I'm praying and I'm saying I would like more money. The big ones for people. I would like more money. Okay. And it's not coming. Well, okay. You know, you got to be really specific. You want a dollar? Here, that's more money for you. Okay. So you want to think, you know, have a specific outcome. And I know that. So when you're asking, you know, people are like, okay, how can I see angels? How can I see God? How can I connect with God? How can I feel God and the angels in my life? How can I see them and know that they're working with me? I think, and how can I make my physical body better? And how can I get over this guy, this girl? How can I move forward? And I think that it requires a certain set of rituals, you know what I mean? And so rituals are important, you know, for most of us to work with our spiritual part. Prayer and meditation. Prayer, you're asking. Meditating, you're listening, right? Also gratitude. Right. You know, this morning I was like, gratitude, what am I grateful for? And I listed a whole list of things that I was grateful for. I talked to a client of mine, and I go, she says, I'm grateful for all these things. And she goes, Tarie, I know that this person in her life that came back into her life, very similar to your situation, she said, I found my passion. He needs to find his. And I think that rituals to be grateful, you share your gratitude. I'm grateful for this God. I'm grateful for this angels. I'm grateful for this Jesus. I'm grateful for this Buddha. I'm grateful for whatever. Then that's important. I also think that personal development, what does that look like? That means like I do a motor exercise that shows me how to run better. You know what I mean? And or I do a motivation that shows me how to be better in business. That's personal development. I read books for that, Think and Grow Rich. So those rituals, and I do like a little bit every day. So those two rituals, and also exercise. Okay, so for me, when I do those three rituals combined, or four rituals, then I've had a great day, and I'm moving ahead, right? Do I ever not do them? I do them more than I not do them. Okay, so whatever your rituals are to work with your mind, body, and spirit, because if you look at it like a muscle, you know what I mean? And we go to the gym one time? No, we go to the gym every day to work muscles or to develop muscles or to, you know, or to, you know, do something with them. If you went one day, it's not going to do a darn bit of good. But if you do those daily rituals every day, that's where you get strong in your mind, your body, and your spirit. And I mean that without a shadow of a doubt. You know, I have a client, and she healed herself of Lyme disease. And how did she do it? You know, because I've got clients that are in bed. It's a debilitating disorder. It really is. And gosh, I feel for people that have it. And she did the work, the subconscious. And how did she do that? She literally wrote out 100 times, I'm choosing to heal my body. I'm choosing to meet a man. And she would write these affirmations out 100 times because it would train her subconscious. And that's what she believed. And she also learned how to switch out the medication for the natural stuff. And then she learned how to come off the natural stuff. And then she got her passion, which was horses, is horses. And she met the guy. She got the horses. But she does a daily meditation. She does daily working on her mind and her body. And so that's key, is having those daily rituals that you do. Or you can sit in front of the TV and watch whatever you watch, or you can actively create your life. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So that's, I think, key right there. Rituals, daily rituals to work the mind, body, and spirit, because they are muscles just like the gym. Your body is a muscle.
Consistency is, you know, the ritual that's just being consistent. I also think that the physical health is actually the easiest one to see progress in. And so if you take people who are depressed and they're just frustrated and they feel like they're spinning their wheels at their job or spinning their wheels in their relationship, the one thing that you can do yourself that you will see progress at is something physical activity. And, of course, there's going to be people saying, oh, that's not true. I've been trying to diet for 10 years and I never can lose weight. The point with them, it shouldn't be losing weight. It should be getting in better shape. And so don't look at it as I'm going to start walking a mile a day to lose weight. Look at it as I'm going to start walking a mile a day to increase my stamina so that maybe a month from now I can walk a mile and a half or 2 miles. And if you start with baby steps like that, because you are using muscles, and muscles do respond to that repetitive. That's why there's, you know, two-a-day practices in sports. Your muscles can get in shape, your physical muscles, very quickly when you're using them and pushing them and, you know, pushing them to their limit, or not over their limit, but you know what I mean. You're getting them in shape. You can get them in shape quicker than anything else. And I think, you know, you see people who hate their lives and like everything in their life is wrong. And they'll start going to the gym, or they'll just start walking or jogging or riding their bike or whatever. And you see almost their personality change sometimes, because you had this Debbie Downer who life was horrible for, and they start enjoying their physical activity and they start seeing improvement in their own performance, where, you know, wow, when I first started trying to walk, I could hardly make it around the block without gasping for air. And now, you know, I'm walking 20 blocks and I don't feel worn out at all. And they see that improvement, and that just in turn makes them feel better about themselves. So you see the mental elevation and you see the spiritual elevation. They start just feeling better all around. So I think that your physical experience is something that you have the greatest control over. You really do. You have the greatest control over making that elevate. Because sometimes when things happen, you know, you and I have both had some tragedies in our lives, and those kind of things you have no control over. So you can't say, well, I'm not going to feel sad anymore. I lost a child. I can't help it but feel sad. That's out there, and I'm not going to change that. But I can change how I feel about other things. I can change how I feel about my own body, and I can see progress being made with something like that. And that makes you feel like you're able to create change in your life in other ways. So, you know, for people who are really struggling, feeling depressed, feeling like they're in a dead-end zone, physically doing something and like you said, being consistent, and you'll see improvement in your own body, that will help you believe in yourself and your own ability to make other changes in your life. So I think it's huge. It's definitely huge. You know, I'm teasing you about running, but it's huge to feel like you've accomplished that. Yeah. Go ahead.
I agree with you. But one of the things that you really helped me with, and this is something so key, is being consistent is the most important, because, as I said, I am never the best, but I'm always consistent. So then I become better. I can become the best, you know, and that kind of thing. But being not so competitive, okay, compete with yourself, and then you just enjoy where you're at, right? You know, today I didn't do the best run. But I was like, you know what, tomorrow I'll do better, and I did pretty good. You know, compared to what I was doing a year ago, compared to what I was doing 4 years ago. So I enjoy where I'm at today, right? You know, and I don't beat myself up. And then I was talking to a friend of mine today who's a client, and she said, you know, Tari, she said, you really worked with me with this. And she said, I'm getting it. And so I want to talk about the emotions and also the spiritual part. And she says, I'm having dreams now where I'm seeing things that happened before they happened. And my angels and some of her soul family are coming. And I said, how did you do that? She goes, well, I started running again. She's a runner herself. And she's a power walker too. You know, so it doesn't matter. You don't have to run. You can power walk. You can just move. You know what I mean? They've got so many things on TV now that you can do. You can do yoga, right? Yoga is a big thing for people. and she said, and then, she goes, I started meditating, and I started asking, and I would ask for a question before I go to bed. When is he going to call? And, when is he going to, does he want to marry me? And so then she would get these messages from her grandmother and her angels and her guides. And they would give you these wonderful messages. And so she's going to see him now. And she goes, I know I've got to do something different. What do I need to do? And I said, you put him walk with him on eggshells because you're afraid to hurt him or afraid that he'll run and leave you. You got to take as much care of yourself as you do him or more because that's you. You got to care for you more than you do anyone because he needs to care for himself rather than you doing it for him. And I'm not saying you don't care about your guy or your girl, but you've got to care about yourself more. And now, do you walk on eggshells with yourself? Heck no. When I feel like I've eaten like a pig, I'm like, Tori, you've eaten like a pig today. Good job, right? You know, all right. But exactly. You know, how many cookies can I eat? And I love cookies now, and that's a whole other story for another day. But you know, those are the things that you do. And so she's getting dreams now about it, and you know, but she's working the mind. Okay, learning how to control her own emotions. She's going to have a conversation with him like, you need to step up your game or you're going to lose me, right? And or I'm gone. And I said, you know what? If you got to be okay with seeing that and him leaving, if he does, do I think he's going to leave? Probably not. But you got to be okay with that. You know what I mean? Because mm-hmm. I'm telling you something. I know this out of shadow doubt. When we meet someone and we treat them with kid gloves, and when we get married, we don't treat them with kid gloves 20 years from now or 10 years from now, okay? I'm assuming, right? And from all the people that I coached with, they don't do that. We get real with them. And sometimes being real from the get-go is better than walking on eggshells, I think, I feel. And that's something that's the emotions, that's the mind part. And also spiritually, she's getting the dreams with it. And and she's also running, walking, doing, I think she does some yoga too. So she's doing a little bit of everything, not one thing. And that works too. Whatever it works for you to keep you moving is key. So what's your thoughts on that? What do you feel? What do you think?
Well, my thoughts on her being real from the get-go? Or, I mean,
yes.
Is that the question?
Yes,
I totally agree. And it's funny because we were having a discussion about this. Why do people treat you with kid gloves and give you this impression of them until they know they've got you? And then, boom, it's like Jekyll and Hyde. And then you're looking at this person going, who are you? You know, I didn't see this side of you when we were dating.
That's right.
You know, why do,
right?
Right. Yes. Why do people do that? It's like they've put on this false front for you. And they've wooed you and they've caught you suddenly and it's just like a switch turns off and then you're with this person that you don't even know, you don't even like, and you feel like, how did you trick me into this? Why do people do that? I mean, why does that person want to give you this false sense of themselves? Because I would think that most people want to have a great relationship. So if they're putting their best, you know, foot forward and they're entering in this relationship with you and you both have this idea that it's so great, don't they know when they turn the charm off that it's going to go south for them too? I guess I don't,
you think,
I don't
right?
understand that. Right, right. So the being real is huge, being true to yourself. Because if you're not putting yourself out there honestly, whatever relationship you're going into, it's just not going to work because at some point your real self is going to start coming through and they may not like your real self. So that's a challenge for a lot of people, I think. Don't you? I know you have people calling you all the time with relationship problems.
Yeah, biggest thing is relationship and money and business career.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah,
I make a joke about it. They could be riding to the hospital with their leg. I'm not joking if anybody's done that, but, you know, with their leg in their lap, wondering if he or she calls, pick up the phone, they're calling, right?
Yeah.
Or you take me into surgery, you know? It's funny. But
exactly.
I don't mean, you know, understand. But, yeah, I'm going to tell you this. You've got to be real. I talked to a guy today. I told you somebody I was dating, and he says to me, he goes, you know what? He goes, I chased you for XYZ time. And he goes, so you played games with me too. I go, no, I didn't. I was working on my career and I had surgery, and you know that. And I said, so don't lie to me. I go, own who you are. And I said, don't call me again and don't email me again. That's what I told him. And because he's trying to play games, right? And
right.
I have zero tolerance for that. And I'm super sensitive to it. Because of all the people that I deal with. as you are sensitive to things too. And, you know, I'm sure Scotty is because he's a principal. God bless him. I shouldn't say that, right? But I did. Sorry.
Yeah.
And everybody is sensitive to certain things. So that's my sensitivity. But what I do know, without a shadow of a doubt, if you keep it real from the get-go and you have honesty and integrity, man, you get the best. And that's the mind, that's the emotions, that's the body, that's the spirit. And because spirituality doesn't need any help, okay, because our spiritual selves is where it's at, right? If we could be our higher self all the time, wouldn't it be great? Right? You know, and I wouldn't be bitching and complaining about jaywalkers. and you wouldn't... That's my
thing. That's your downfall.
And you wouldn't be...
You've got road rage, everybody.
Oh, yeah.
Got road rage.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. But I'm better now. Getting better. And we'd all be more balanced. Yeah, I am. Amazing. The miracles do happen. But I have a friend of mine who's also a client. And so she says to me, she wanted this guy, right? So she got the guy. They're married. And she had a baby with him. And she wanted another baby. He had a secret vasectomy. And isn't that sad? And so I know. And we were talking about it the other day. And, he's on his way out of here for a lot of different reasons. And she had a dream about it. And I had a dream about it, too. This is some time ago. And now he's on his way out. And do you understand? She is like, she said, Tariya, I had a dream. I saw my son, and this is her second marriage, my son walking me down the aisle with another guy. And she goes, when we divorced my first marriage, she goes, that my son now is the one that's going to be walking me down the aisle because I will, being a widow. And I was like, wow, that's intense. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And when she meets the new guy. Yeah, when she meets the new guy. But she asked her angels, you got to hear this. This is amazing. She said, I want to see my life in the future. Now, this woman works out. She's very balanced. She meditates. She prays. She's a good soul and beautiful on the inside and outside and just amazing. And I've known her for a few years now. So she said, the other day, she says, I asked my angels, I said, I want to know what my future life looks like. And she said, show me. So she woke up and she didn't see anything. Now, this is a little bit of time ago. She talked to her husband, and he said, I had a dream that he died. And that's right. So she didn't give it. The angels didn't give it. I'm not laughing because of that. The angels didn't give it to her, but they gave it to him. So she says, it's like God checked off the box. I did this. I've given you this to warn him. And to give you asked to see something, I'm giving you your answer. Okay? Now, is that something that God's doing saying? Right, exactly. And how did she connect like that? Well, like the other woman did, she's doing the daily rituals, gratitude, exercise, meditation, prayer, also personal development to be a better mom, to be a better businesswoman, to be a better, soul. And that's what she's doing. You know what I mean? The other one is doing the same thing. You know, I have a guy, and he's doing the same thing, and he's met the woman of his dreams and he's engaged now. So it's not only women, it's men, too. Women just think a lot more, I think, of an engagement ring than a man does, I think.
Right.
What do I know?
That's a symbol. And, I like that symbolism.
Oh, yeah. Don't we all, So I told my dad I was never going to live with a guy until he proposed to me first. He's like, good luck with that. So anyway, my dad's in my corner. So those are some things there that give you an idea when you get them, when you become balanced in them all and wondering when it's not going to happen, why it hasn't happened yet or when it's going to happen. You just accept that you are there already and you believe that and you start getting the signs and the symbols and the messages. And then as you believe them, then you get more. I think you have to believe, like you said, in yourself first. Right.
So I do. But I also think what you were saying before about asking for an answer, you do get them. And I know that's a question a lot of people have. It's like, okay, they want to expand their own clairvoyant ability or whatever you want to call it, intuition, and they want answers. And if you ask, it is uncanny. If you ask a question and you go to sleep and you say, please show me something, you'll get the answer. You always get the answer. And it may be something that you are thinking about just when you're waking up then the next morning. It may be a sign. It may be something you happen to read that, you know, 2 days later. But it's like when you're putting that question out there, you'll get your answer. But people don't always like the answers they're getting. And so they'll disregard it. You'll push it away because that's not the answer you wanted. So as long as you're open to getting the real answer, you'll get it. But it, you just have to be prepared for what you're going to get. And
oh, that's true,
you know, you can't say, God, I'm asking this question, but here's the answer I want. That doesn't work that way. Life doesn't work that way. Like, why isn't he calling?
Yes, I want that answer.
You get all these women calling you saying, Tariq, why isn't he calling, you know? And you're too nice to say because he's not thinking about you. But seriously, you know, when a man thinks about you, call, you know. So they already know the answer. They know the answer, but they don't want to know the answer. You know, you have to be able to accept the truth, whatever is given to you. But the truth always sets you free. It really does, you know.
Yes, it does.
You have the truth. You can act on it. You can make an informed decision about your life. And so, you know, don't be afraid of getting those answers, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. May not be what you want to hear.
You know,
but yeah.
Yeah, it is true. And I'm going to share this with you, too, as well. And some people want to know, how can I connect with the angels and God more? You know, there is a stack of angel cards by Doreen Virtue called the Archangels and Guardian Angels and whatever kind of angels. I think when you pull those cards out and you buy them from Barnes & Noble, you go online and buy them, and they're by Doreen Virtue until Angel Coaches comes out with their own. That's a key right there to really establishing that spiritual connection. And then you can work on the physical connection like we talked about, and the emotional and the mental connection will happen because you're working on those two things, you know. And also, one of the things I'm realizing, too, and I've done this a long time, is people mistake love for or need for love. You know, they think it's love, mm-hmm. and it's really need, you know. And I'm working with somebody right now. It's like, she doesn't love him. She needs him. And she's mad because mm-hmm. she can't. He won't call her. And she's, you know, and I can hear people now, is that me? You know,
yeah.
It's you.
Is she talking about me?
Yeah. That's funny.
Yeah, when you're
anyway,
somebody, you push them away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're just about out of time. So I know you've got things to do, and you're enjoying your guy, and he's enjoying you, I'm sure. So let's close the call. You guys go have fun, and enjoy yourself. I'm so happy for you both. I really am. And I want you guys to take as much time and enjoy yourself. So anyway, visit us on Instagram. We are Angel Coaches. You can go to Dear Angels, because Di and I post letters there from the people that write us. You can go to Angel Coaches or Tree Abbott Angel Coach, Diane Bucci, B-U-C-C-I, and Diane, D-I-A-N-E. Did I spell that right? I'm sure that is spelling.
Yeah, you spelled it right.
Anyway, amazing. Right now, teasing. But, and then also, we also have a book out. You mean there's a law that says he's attracted to me. It's funny. It's very true. But it'll make you laugh, and it'll get some points across. And it's got prayers and meditation in there, too, that you guys may like. All right, everybody, have a good night, and we will see you next Tuesday night at 8 p.m. East Coast time. Take care, everyone. Bye. You guys have fun. Bye now.
Bye.